and welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, the only show that tells you the news before it happens, as we look ahead to the events going on around the world in the upcoming week and give you our thoughts, throw in our two pence, not that such currency exists anymore in this age of inflation, but Afshin, as always, let's go ahead and kick off with Monday, the first day of the week, according to the international standard ISO 8601, fun fact.
I'm glad you mentioned that, the ISO international standards, because there don't seem to be any international standards this week, beginning the 20th of November.
Okay, well, we'll see about that. Well, so starting off with today, the Global Food Security Summit is taking place, and that is being hosted by the UK. And they are apparently aiming to tackle the cause of global hunger, malnutrition, and food insecurity, which will be including the effects.
Where is this? Sorry, Millie, to interrupt. Where is this?
In the UK.
In London. Food Security Summit in London.
That's correct. What do you have to say?
Well, we remember London. There wasn't any food security, was there? You couldn't walk through central London without people asking you for money to buy food. Anyway.
Okay, well, then it's a good job that they're holding the global summit on food security. But they will be talking about effects of climate change, supply chain disruption, and Russia's invasion of Ukraine and their withdrawal of the Black Sea Grain Initiative. And I will say as well, it's being held in partnership with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which I'm sure you'll have something to say
on. Are you using Windows right now? Thank you, Bill Gates, it has to be said.
No, I'm using Mac.
Tim Cook, recently at the APEC Forum in San Francisco. Anyway, go on, yeah, sorry.
Well, that's going on, but I will say, this is serious. That the latest figures from the World Food Programme are that around 787 million people worldwide are facing chronic hunger, which is how it's been categorised. In theory, there's enough food to feed 10 billion people, and there's 8 billion people in the world currently. But Afshin, what do you think? Do you think any of those 787 million people are going to benefit from this summit?
750 million people face hunger tonight. The summit, the Global Security Summit, Food Security Summit, is held in London, where spiraling poverty has been a watchword of recent years. And Britain is spending millions and millions of pounds, not on global food security or national food security, but on supporting Zelensky in Ukraine and the neo-Nazi-linked troops there and the Gaza genocide, because people can't afford to eat in Gaza because they're under a siege, de facto backed by the sponsors of the Global Food Security Summit. I think it is appalling to hold a Global Food Security Summit in London, responsible clearly through its policies for people starving in Gaza and starving in Ukraine. It's ridiculous. And come on, you remember London. You remember the people, that there were increased rickets and diseases associated with poverty and malnutrition.
I think actually, like, I just don't quite get your point. Like, yes, you know, we're all sickened by what's happening in Gaza and what's happening in Ukraine. And it's not wrong to point out the hypocrisy of what the UK is doing. But that surely doesn't diminish the value of having a summit if steps can be taken to improve food
security. Because it's like, well, I mean, if you have a country committing genocide, which has been alleged by hundreds and hundreds of lawyers, in real time, at the exact same time as children are being blown to pieces by British weaponry, you hold a conference talking about, oh, we're really worried about global food security. It doesn't really make sense because you're backing a siege and stopping 2 million people from being able to eat, simultaneous to you talking about the importance of people being able to eat. It's absurd. And of course, the entire Global South knows this, which means that the conference, no matter who's going to be talking at the Global Food Summit, is going to look at it thinking, this is absurd. I mean, the Gates Foundation in the United States, that statistic that I know you get bored of me to saying 40 million can't eat tonight in the United States without federal aid for their food security. It's over for these countries in NATO nations talking about global food security because one country has shown the way when it comes to global food security. That's China, 800 million people out of poverty over a period of 10 years or so.
Or is it more than that? All this stuff is true, and I'm not disagreeing with you on that point, but I'm not really getting the correlation with, okay, the UK is helping Israel to commit these atrocities, as are the US, and that's not a good thing. But if that therefore means that they can't host a global food security...
It's not global, though, is it? It's not global at all. It's a lie. It's clearly not global. There won't be any Russian delegates there. I'll be surprised if there are any Chinese ones there because Britain is sanctioning China. If you think of the number of countries that Britain is sanctioning, Iran, Venezuela, it's not global, this conflict. It's a lie to start. The lie is in the title. Britain is not a global place anymore because it's self-sanctioning. If you think of all the countries doing trade with, say, Russia, violating the British desire to sanction Russia or Venezuela or Zimbabwe. I don't know. There's so many different countries in the world that Britain sanctions, meaning that Britain can't talk globally, as it were. China can, doesn't sanction loads of countries. Russia can, Brazil can, India can.
You don't think by having this summit, if there's any way that they can improve that at all, you just don't think it's worth having?
Well, I was just saying it's not global. So they should say it's a summit. Well, I think the other aspect to this is Britain is a former imperial power and has deliberately used food as a weapon for centuries. So also holding it in London is odd because of that. And the use of food as a weapon is clear in British policy in recent years. It has been trying to sanction countries. Iran springs to mind, actually. Though they always say food isn't included, there's always dual use, which means that flour grinding and all sorts of farming machinery are not allowed to go to different countries. Britain uses food security as a weapon. So when it talks about the desire to have food security, many people around the world are going to think this is a duplicitous way of trying to make you look good and look as if you care, while at the same time starving and deliberately, as a means of policy, starving countries like, say, Eritrea. They tried to starve it to have sanctions against them.
This all may be true, but I do think that steps that could be made to improve the situation are worth having, and that is surely
what steps. What steps, Millie? You mean Terminator seeds from the Gates Foundation?
Okay.
That's clapping for the Gates Foundation, of course.
I think we better move on, but I would say that I don't see the correlation or the problem with having a summit to try and do things to change
things. Are you invited? China invited? North Vietnam, North Korea invited, Venezuela invited, 40,000 people, 40,000 people killed by British, 40,000 killed in Venezuela by British sanctions that hurt the food supplies in Venezuela, the energy superpower of Latin America.
Well, anyway, let's move on.
I don't think they were invited. They're only inviting a certain number of their globe for global food summit is about that big. Maybe that's the problem.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next story, which actually leads us on to, also on Monday, the emissions gap report that's being released by the UN Environment Programme, which is to assess how far the response to climate change has progressed over the last year. And UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is making a speech on that. And of course, that is ahead of COP28 at the end of this month. And we know the 2050 net zero target is not on track.
I did see, before we get to the point that obviously they're not going to mention the Biden eco-terror attack resulting in the greatest man-made emission event in history, the Nord Stream pipeline destruction, isn't something that's quite optimistic. I've got some hopeful news here. Did you see there was some report about how trees and plants are coping better than they thought with increasing temperatures in the world and modifying their behavior. And they're having to change some of the IPCC climate estimates to say we've got a bit longer on the planet than they thought. So we won't all be dead in, what was it, 5 years? I don't know how long. You know, people will still be able to go to the Maldives on holiday. If you're lucky enough to pay for it, if you're lucky enough, often enough, to be one of these people advocating green policies, they always seem to be very rich, I've noticed.
Okay, like you, Afshin.
No, what's every week you're saying
Where
that?
Where did you last go on holiday, sorry?
Actually, I tried to go to one country which didn't allow me, and I'm not going to talk about that one, and... I went to the country where the United States was responsible for killing 20% of the island on which I was on. And it was a country which is famous for the non-aligned movement, the Bandung Conference of Non-Alignment. And that country was destabilized by the CIA, killing a million people. I'm talking about the largest archipelago, the largest Muslim nation in numbers of people, Indonesia. That's where I went.
Okay. But let's just
get back. It's quite new here, actually.
I think before that, it was the Maldives, if I remember correctly.
It was important, I think, to inspect, as you say, climate change. You know, myself and other well-heeled people were trying to look at species that may not be here soon. Too bad in
and
the
how
city.
How did you find the climate situation was in the Maldives on your travels?
I mean, I'm not sure how much better off it was from the jet plane I took to go there, but it's beautiful. And it's a country that's turning away from certain NATO nation powers in foreign policy since the last election. And one just hopes that they realize modes of development are crucial to its economic survival because they depend on their country being so beautiful for the tourism. So there's no point in destroying the environment and sinking the islands that are responsible for the economic well-being of the country.
Of course. And will you stop buying your bottled Fiji water to help with the environment at all?
I thought Fiji water says that it it's environmental to drink it, to fly it in.
Plastic bottles.
I wonder whether at these UN summits they'll be drinking Fiji water. I'm sure they won't be drinking Fiji water. They'll be drinking recycled wastewater. No, I mean the delegates, because we've got to remember it's a huge environmental echelon of society, global society, that goes to all these conferences, fly around everywhere and tell the poor to, in some cases, be poorer, it has to be said. But I think the most important thing about this UN report, and of course, Antonio Guterres, who Israel wants to resign after he said that the October the 7th massacres have context, he's been doing a lot of good work lately, but he won't mention that Joe Biden and Antony Blinken and Victoria Nuland and Jake Sullivan were involved in what Seymour Hersh called the Biden destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline.
Okay. He's probably not been to visit the Maldives either. We're going to move on to Tuesday now. The Russian Foreign Ministry's ambassador at large, Rodion Maroshnik, is giving a press briefing on Ukraine, or the forgotten war, as I like to call it. And he's in charge of overseeing Kiev's regime crimes or alleged crimes.
What day is this on?
This Tuesday.
We already went through to Tuesday. You didn't mention the huge case in London about Moko and Bokaina communities at the High Court over the Fazenda Moko mining company for pollution and diverting a stream to ruin crops. Okay, let's go to Tuesday, whatever. And you didn't mention the Emmy Awards. You don't watch TV. You're too busy to watch the Emmy Awards. Previously, they gave awards to documentaries celebrating Al-Qaeda and ISIS-linked rebels in Syria, and they gave things to pro-neo-Nazi elements in Ukraine. Anyway, I suppose it leads to the Ukraine, doesn't it?
Okay. All right.
Go ahead. Yeah. Big Russian thing. Yeah, you're right.
Yes. Well, yes, as I say, the ambassador, he is in charge of overseeing these Kiev's regime crimes. And he used to be the ambassador of the Luhansk People's Republic to Moscow. And he actually, in September, was collecting information on Kiev's alleged crimes against minors. And Russia says more than 24,000 minors have been recognized as victims of shelling by armed formations of the Kiev regime. I'm sure mainstream media will say this is Russian propaganda, but I'm sure time will reveal who's right and who's wrong.
Although a lot of people saying the International Criminal Court, which has a warrant for Putin's arrest, is not doing anything about Israel, and people going, hang on a minute, the Russians evacuated children to safety. This guy, this Russian guy who's speaking, the ambassador, of course, of Luhansk Republic, was when 14,000 people maybe were killed by NATO nation-armed Ukrainian troops in the leading up to the Putin's moving in to eastern Ukraine. And so Putin evacuates children to safety. He gets done for international war crimes. And the NATO-backed Israeli government murders thousands of children. And not a peep from them.
Well, Russia is said to have killed thousands and thousands of civilians since 2022, according to...
Where are your figures coming from on that one? Where are your figures coming from that one?
Well, where are your figures that Israel has killed?
The United Nations, the United Nations Special Rapporteur, the World Health Organization. Where are you getting your figures from? Netanyahu.
Better be
wary of that. Netanyahu is going to jail for corruption after this mass genocide is finished, some are saying. Can I get on to the other big Tuesday event? I think it was all happening in the landmines.
Said that Russia has killed over 9,000 civilians since the start of the war. So you can't say Israel.
Who said that?
The UN has said that.
The UN was on Ukraine. The UN, it's interesting that Antonio Guterres has been talking about, why does he not talk about context? Why did Antonio Guterres not talk about context when Russia went to save the people of eastern Ukraine on the 22nd of, when it was February 2022? No context there for Guterres then.
You can't say Israel is killing civilians and not also condemn Russia. Anyway, you were saying about the landmines.
I don't condemn Russia one bit. Russia went in to save people in eastern Ukraine being slaughtered by the NATO-backed coup regime of Kiev. So the point, if you're going to condemn Russia, it can only be for not moving in quicker, given the NATO onslaught, NATO-backed onslaught on eastern Ukraine and the murdering of so many children in eastern Ukraine. Putin should have gone in earlier. That's why you can condemn him. You certainly can't condemn him. And of course, that's why lots of people talk about the Arab world. Why are the Arab world not going in to save Gaza the way Putin went to save Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine?
The Russian-backed separatists who Ukraine said were fighting them and killing people. You know, it just depends on what side of the argument. There are atrocities on both sides.
No, I think in a war you have to take sides. Otherwise, what side were you on in World War II anyway? What side were you on in the Vietnam War?
There are atrocities.
What side were you on in the
World War One? It's very different.
Were you on in the Falklands? You're a big fan of Mrs. Thatcher. Were you on Argentina's side, which has just elected in the past 48 hours?
There are two sides to these arguments.
So you were in Argentina. So you saw Argentina's right for the Malvinas?
There's two sides to every conflict.
Okay, yes. All right. Sometimes there are three sides, actually. Sometimes there are even more than that. Anyway, have you been watching The Crown on Netflix? We mentioned it last week.
No, I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I am quite keen to see what it has to say.
I know Republicans like you are not interested in the royal family, but there's a huge section on landmines. I'm not giving it away. And it's this week that 164 countries' representatives who have signed the 1997 Landmine Treaty, which was trumpeted and promoted by Princess Diana, they meet at the moment, presumably talk about how the United States and the European Union and Britain are backing the mass landmining of Ukraine to slaughter future generations if it's not for demining and mine clearance that will have to be done because of their abuse of the Minsk Accords that were ratified at the UN Security Council.
I don't think that's till later in the week, is it?
Is it later in the week? Maybe I got confused because Prince Harry will say nothing about landmines like his mum, but Prince Harry's in court with Elton John, isn't he?
That's not true, Afshin, because Prince...
Tuesday, Prince Harry and Elton John's representative sue the Daily Mail, I know that, about mass surveillance. Well, mass surveillance of celebrities. That's in the High Court on Tuesday.
Yes, but Prince Harry, on the landmine point, he has spoken out against landmines, as has Prince William, who in 2020, when he did a speech on the Falklands, he condemned the use of landmines.
On the Malvinas, you mean? Well, I would hope he had done, but he never condemned the use by Zelensky of massive mining there. Could that be because Prince William has been a vocal critic? Of Russia in this two sides, as you call it, war in the heart of Europe that may have killed, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians? Why is it Prince William is not following his mother's footsteps and attacking the NATO-backed land mining of Europe? Nothing.
Well, I think all Prince William or the royal family have done is express support and upset for those who have been killed.
No, I don't think. I think they supported Ukraine. They made some statements in support of Ukraine attacking Russia.
But
anyway, Kate Middleton has, definitely. She was saying something, was it? Were they wearing Ukraine pins at one point?
It's in the context of supporting the people who have died in the war, which...
And the Russians as well.
She was still alive.
Russians as well?
She's never put a foot wrong, so...
The Queen never put a foot wrong. You've got to watch The Crown. You have to watch it. I sound like I promote that show. She definitely puts some feet wrong in that series.
Are you sponsored by The Crown?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I just happen to be watching it at the moment.
Okay.
Anyway, the big news on Tuesday is presidential contender Jill Stein of the Green Party goes for her nomination to the Green Party to become president of the United States. I think Jill Stein could become president of the United States, don't you?
No, I don't, no.
Okay. Well, you know, she would be a pretty good candidate. I think she could walk around in conferences like APEC a little better than Biden, at the very least, who ran away from his seat to apologize. What was he saying to Xi Jinping after calling him a dictator at that dinner? People can see the footage online. Truly.
Well, he said he is technically a dictator in the sense that he... is not democratically elected.
But he is democratically elected, Xi Jinping, isn't he? He's democratically elected by whole tiers of governance, which is how the Chinese Communist state work from street level right up to the Central Committee of the Communist Party.
A dictator is a dictator, someone who makes governmental policies without...
Personally being elected. Are you talking about Rishi Sunak?
The Conservative Party was voted.
No, I pressed the wrong button there. The Conservative, yeah, who cares? He hasn't been elected by the people. Around the world, people look at the British Prime Minister and go, he wasn't elected, don't they? You know, by the people.
Yes, but the Conservative Party was elected. So, but I agree with you. He technically wasn't elected in, but it's a different kind of thing.
What are you doing on Tuesday for World Television Day?
Well, actually, on World Television Day, this is where the UK government is introducing the Media Bill, which is legislation to regulate streaming services. Obviously, we've recently had...
Are you serious? They're choosing World TV Day from the UN, which is supposed to promote television shows and everything, to clamp down on kind of television.
Yeah, to regulate the TV services. And we've recently had the online safety bill, which put regulations on internet streaming services like Rumble. And I will say, you know, this brings up the question of free speech, of course, and freedom of expression. And currently 15% of the global population live in countries where there is free speech or allegedly free speech.
Only 15%?
15%, but that...
You mean 15% live in countries with free speech?
That's correct, according to a Human Rights Organization Article 19.
Let's move there, then.
Where?
To these 15% of countries that have free speech. Anyway, in Britain, presumably that
is a question after asking. Do you believe in free speech and freedom of expression?
What?
What? Do you believe in it?
I mean, of course, you're not. I'm not free to express an opinion on that in the country where we were both born in. That's, I mean, so, you know, I'm always amazed by that question. Yeah, I hope so. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to express my answer to what you just asked, arguably. But the fact is, as we know, Britain jails journalists like Julian Assange, bans television channels, persecutes the staff of television channels. World Television Day is not going to be happy in Britain or in the European Union. Better to move to the United States. I don't know whether that was one of the countries as part of the 15%.
Well, of course, the United States have their First Amendment, but this is then the next question is, do you believe there should be any regulation on freedom of speech in countries that outwardly promote free speech?
I mean,
should
I
there
can,
be any kind of regulation?
I can imagine you saying, I can imagine you shouting fire in a crowded theater, you know, and I'd stop that. I wouldn't like that.
No, but of course,
unless there was a fire. Of course, if there was a fire, I don't mind you saying that.
Are you saying that because of free speech, I would just shout fire just out of
Well, that's the point. The only regulation you should have is you can't have people in... Does anyone go to the theater these days anyway? I'm not even sure that even works anymore. But yeah, I don't think... I mean, obviously, there should be no... clamping down on any kind of free speech, except which harms. I mean, I don't think, you know, grooming children and using speech to do that is a good idea. But I think clearly the seminal case is you have no right to shout fire when there's no fire in a crowded theater. But otherwise, you can say what you like.
But do you believe in things like libel laws, slander, defamation, all of those things?
What are you about to do? What are you about to say to me?
No, I'm just asking.
Are you about to defame me now?
I'm interested. Do you believe in libel laws?
I don't think libel. Well, as a journalist, any journalist does not believe in libel laws because it's a disaster, isn't it? But the problem is that you have such concentrations of media power in a few hands that if you don't have libel laws, you'd have Rupert Murdoch and a few oligarchs that own media in NATO nations being able to make any kind of allegation and would never have to prove their allegations, and they'd be able to smear people. Having said that, they're able to smear people all the time, aren't they? Nothing has been proven against Russell Brand, but didn't stop the Murdoch Times crowing about the fact he was interviewed under caution over some personal case. And then you think about the big media organizations that in secret pay settlements after smearing people with all sorts of nonsense. The press have smeared me for inciting class war after the Grenfell Tower fire in London of a big block of flats. I remember the Times did that. I didn't have the money to sue them. So what's the point of the libel law anyway?
But do you think, do you believe in the idea of regulation? I mean, I guess where there seems to be a fine line now is in an age where we can't verify things as well. There's AI, there's people talking on the internet, you know.
Do you just think people are stupid, Millie?
No, I don't think, but do you not think extreme censorship is that any more morally incorrect than total free speech? Like, should there not be free speech with elements of regulation to keep
Who's going to do the regulating?
Well, the government.
The government, right. Yeah, are you back to your non-elected Sunak character doing?
No, but if you look at, like, for example...
I mean, it's clear. I mean, I've been on shows which have been regulated by British censors, and it's clear that the British censors are biased, are ideologically banning things for their own reasons. That's what happens in Britain. In Britain, if you do not support their wars, you get hunted down, as has happened to so many journalists and whistleblowers over decades. That's how they regulate it. Anyone against NATO policy, you're in trouble. That's what regulation is used for in Britain. But as you're saying, obviously child exploitation and the usual things should clearly not be able to be furthered by allowing blanket free speech. So There has to be that. But you can go to a judge for that. You don't need a government-appointed commission like Ofcom in Britain or the European Union Commission to decide on regulation, because they shouldn't have the right to censor
speech. You go to where? To church?
What?
You say you go to church for that.
No, I did not say you go to church. I said, who's doing the censor? Who gets to censor? And the point is, we mustn't ever allow governments in Western Europe that are ad hoc to Washington foreign policy and who have been voted for by fewer than half their electorates to appoint commissions that decide on what is okay speech and what is not okay speech. That's the point.
Sure.
I think I should decide. I think I should decide what people can say and what people can't.
Oh God!
That's basically what these commissions are, isn't it?
God forbid. But I guess the point with like countries like the UK and the US is not that they, whether or not they have regulations, but it's the fact they pitch themselves as, you know, they're promoters of free speech, almost like as a mantra and a weapon. But it's misleading. And I guess you could say, you know, they're lying when they say that they are free speech countries.
But there's more free speech in the United States.
Don't lie about what you are.
But there's more free speech in the United States. I think we can't.
They hide it better.
No, clearly they can't just outright do what Britain does and ban television stations whenever they like and that kind of thing. I mean, the United States, you can't do that.
But with the United States, we've got to move on quickly. But I will just say, in a country like the United States, what that breeds is when you are watching television programs, for example, or you're watching your news, it creates this very partisan bias almost, where you've got in the US, it's hard to get your news, for example.
Well, because the British Broadcasting Corporation isn't biased. I think the BBC is far more biased than Fox News.
I would say in the UK, you get a lot more actual news.
Right, where?
Rather than such partisan.
No, I think in Britain, they know how to lie better and actually give you a more biased take than they do often enough than on American channels. I think
that's a question. Maybe the audience can tell us what they think. I think we better move on to Wednesday, though. And of course, is that the bell to move on?
Yeah. Wednesday. That's my JFK 60-year bell, actually.
Yeah. Is that our like morning bell?
Yeah.
As in like morning for JFK and his assassination. Which, of course, Wednesday is 60 years to the day since JFK was assassinated.
Did you like the Kennedys?
Do I like the Kennedys? Yeah, I like them.
You like RFK Jr.?
It was so long ago, I can't really remember. You know, I was very young at the time when he died.
What? You weren't alive when he died? What are you talking about?
What? I'm like 60
I know.
Years
anyway, the nephew, anyway. Is it the nephew? The nephew's running for the presidency for the next year, supports Gaza genocide.
RFK Jr., yes, that is the very same.
Bizarre character.
But what do you think about the JFK assassination? So obviously there are still many questions surrounding it.
What do you think?
There are...
I'm not saying you were involved in the assassination, obviously.
Well, I mean, no one would ever find out if I was, I'm sure.
It's a serious point you're making, because Joe Biden refuses to release the secret documents that pertain to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Why do you think that is?
Well, he released some, but some were redacted, right, a few months ago. But I suppose my question on that is... What do you think those redacted documents hide, or what do you think these documents he has are going to reveal? Because if there was any evidence that I think we're talking about the CIA or the US government having any involvement in the JFK assassination, which many people still claim is the case, do you not think that 60 years ago someone would have burnt or destroyed these documents, or some whistleblower would have come out by now if there was anything in any documents that Biden or the US government has right now gives any indication that it was the CIA? Do you not think they'd be a bit cleverer than that?
Probably. I mean, 60 years, it's too soon to release any secret papers, clearly. There have been whistleblowers. That's why Oliver Stone, the great film director, made a film which then changed congressional legislation to allow the president to declassify documents pertaining to the assassination. And then Biden has chosen. Trump regretted it after he became president that he too kept them all secret. It's clear that there have been whistleblowers, there have been countless witnesses talking about CIA involvement, mafia involvement, partly connected to the desire to overthrow the Cuban Revolution. And so the fact that they're refusing to release these papers after 60 years, I think is evidence enough that they're trying to cover up U.S. involvement.
That wouldn't hold up in a court of law.
Well, why are they keeping it? Well, why do you think they're keeping it quiet? Most of the people are dead anyway. All the other people are dead in it.
Well, could there not be issues of national security or several reasons as to why they don't?
There is. There is an issue of national security that a deep state in the United States is going around killing off democratically elected presidents. But I think whatever is the case, they need to hide things like that from the American public in a presidential election year, because if they understood
my sense is we're really heading into conspiratorial territory if we're saying...
No, but that creates the conspiracy, doesn't it? There wouldn't be a conspiracy if Joe Biden had just said, you know what, the people deserve the truth. Here are the papers unredacted. It can't be to do with national security. The whole national security of the earth has changed fundamentally, whether it be the fall of the Soviet Union or the end of McCarthyism and the Edgar Hoover FBI. I mean, the whole situation has changed. It can't pertain to national security as we are now, unless JFK was secretly plotting to blow up the United States using nuclear weapons and the codes are in the documents. No, this can't be to do with national security. They're hiding something. There must be a conspiracy if they're hiding something.
Okay, so why doesn't the U.S. government, why don't any governments release their documents for public consumption? There's a reason they do that, but that doesn't mean that they're hiding a murder or an assassination. They could be, and I agree that a lot of the questions, there are questions surrounding his death and a lot of things don't add up, but I think that's quite a leap and we can't make any.
Why did his brother Robert Kennedy, who was then himself killed, why did he, the first phone call he made was to the CIA going, did you do this? What sort of American state is it that the brother of an assassinated president's first idea is, oh, this is the CIA killing my brother? I mean,
I don't think that counts as evidence.
No, of course it doesn't. We don't have the evidence. That's why all we have is evidence of a conspiracy, because they're hiding the information. We don't have any open and shut case on it.
Yes, but the CIA are, in fairness, said to be behind many assassinations and certainly ones of world leaders. So it's not totally far-fetched that he would have thought to ask that question. But who knows? Maybe we'll never know. Maybe we'll never know.
Well, I think all of it means is that something has to be done to stop the United States at all costs, because this is a bizarre country which is not open about the assassinations of its own leaders while dictating to the rest of the world how they should live their lives and be democratic.
Okay, let's just cancel the United States as a country. Just put a big X.
I love the United States, so I'm glad you said that and not me. Are you going to talk about that? The Pentagon has that virtual call on Wednesday. I don't know whether you've been invited. It's some kind of Zoom call. Schultz and Meloni from Italy may be on it together. G20 summit virtually held. Have you got a Zoom link?
No, I wasn't invited. I'm never invited.
Well, people can see on our YouTube link. It's in the bio, isn't it? The Zoom link to click, and you'll be able to talk to all these G20 leaders, I think.
If you're lucky enough. I will say also on Wednesday, though, Afshin, the reality series spin-off off the Netflix's Squid Game is airing worldwide on Wednesday. And that is Squid Game The Challenge. Afshin, I know you enjoyed the Squid Game, I believe, when it came out. And of course, contestants will be competing for $4.6 million by today's exchange rate. And production, I think, was started last year, but they had to cancel it because one of the contestants ended up coming out on a stretcher. But what about you, Afshin? Would you do the Squid Game?
I thought the whole point of Squid Game, the South Korean television series, was that we are all living in the Squid Game, isn't it? I mean, what? We all have to look at puzzles, solve different problems, or face death within a global capitalist society. That's the way capitalism works, isn't it?
We can't ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Oh, right. Basically, it's about octopuses and squids, yeah.
But would you do it? Would you?
We're in it right now. If I don't solve the puzzle of my electricity bill tonight, I could lose heat and die of cold. I mean, not here, obviously, where I'm talking to you from, but many people around the world, that's the situation, isn't it? If you can't budget for your food for the weekly shop and you can't work out the puzzle, you die. That's Squid Game. You don't need a reality series. It is reality, unless you live in a country with proper social welfare protection and free housing and community ideas where everyone comes together and cooperates rather than competes. That's the point, isn't it?
Okay, so I'm going to assume no, you wouldn't.
We're in it now.
Okay. All right. 3.7 million isn't enough for you. Thursday then, Thanksgiving, the Earth will be celebrating.
What is that? Because, you know, around the world, people don't really quite understand. It's where...
Well, for those around the world... It's modeled on a harvest feast that was shared by the British colonialists in 1621. And it's intended to celebrate the blessings of last year. But I'm sure what you're about to say, Afshin, is it, of course, coincides with the Native American National
Day. Who are they? Wait. Thanksgiving is when, and of course, I think Joe Biden has to pardon a turkey or something. Clearly, he won't pardon Turkey's views on Gaza. That certainly won't happen. But isn't it to commemorate in 1629 when, English Puritans gave blankets with smallpox and cholera and diseases Native Americans didn't have before, invited them for a picnic, and they all sat down together, and then it just wiped out all the Native Americans in that area. Is that? And they sort of thanks. It's kind of ironic title, Thanksgiving. Is that right?
Well, I guess it's thanks depending on whether you were the British or you were the Native Americans, I suppose.
Is it even British? It's English, isn't it? Before the Glorious Revolution, pretty sure. Anyway, more important, that 344 years on Thursday since Milton wrote the Liberty Censorship on the Liberty of Unlicensed Pamphlet Printing, a name I call Areopagitica or something. He wrote this amazing leaflet or publication saying we must not censor pamphlets which want to talk about things of the day, issues of the day. So, you know, heads up to Milton, the great poet, I think.
What was it? You said 344 years it's been. Doesn't feel like that long.
Yeah, I guess.
But I will sleep better tonight now that I know that.
Anyway, I suppose, given you mentioned the Russian earlier, it's the CSTO meeting in Minsk. Are you going to go there? That's Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Russia, yes. Tajikistan.
Yes, they are having a meeting. Okay.
What goes on there? Because there'll be no coverage in NATO nation media. Why do they want to hide all these oil-rich, mineral-rich? I don't know where the minerals for my phone come from, but those countries, some of those countries sound like they come from there. And Kim Kardashian came from Armenia.
That's true. That is correct. So maybe it will be on the news. But also on a Thursday, the EU and Turkey, that's Turkey, the country, not part of the Thanksgiving feast, is holding a high-level dialogue on migration. Now, I assume this is something to do with, refugees, something to do with the refugees in like in Syria and Afghanistan, coming from Turkey into EU nations in what they say is the EU migrant crisis, which peaked in 2015. Just remind us your views on migration.
I'm just saying, why did the United States bomb Syria in the past few days? Do they think they're going to get fewer? Yeah, anyone from outer space is going to think, right, there's some sort of migrant crisis in Western Europe. How do the United States deal with this? They bomb the countries from where the refugees are coming from to create more refugees. Is this just a competition thing? The United States goes, you know what? Western Europe is still an economic competitor. The only way we can destroy those countries is by massive refugee crisis of people with no money coming to those countries that need desperate help. Let's bomb loads of countries near to Western Europe so they all go to there. Some people might say, rather than meeting with Turkey, European Union leaders should be meeting with the American deep state, really, to say, please stop bombing countries creating refugees.
It doesn't affect the United States, so I suppose.
Although they have lots, too, on their southern border, and they do it to themselves. So maybe they just don't get it.
I guess. But, of course, as we said earlier, the United States has been cancelled. So we don't talk about that.
No, but there are so many refugees, obviously, trying to leave destabilized Latin and Central America, destabilized by the United States. And as for Turkey, doesn't the European Union just pay cash to the Turkish government to take refugees from the wars that they also back? Because in Syria, it was Britain bombing Syria as well. So I suppose that's why Britain took in so many Syrian refugees and refugees from Iraq. And refugees from Afghanistan and refugees from Libya.
Okay, well, then, whilst the US is bombing Syria and all these countries, on Friday, they will be celebrating what's referred to as Black Friday, as will many nations around the world. And, of course, that's traditionally been observed in the US after Thanksgiving and is, of course, nowadays the commercial day where many shops offer products at discounted prices, supposedly. The word black is meant to refer to retailers going from in the red to in the black, and is the one day a year where they're meant to make profit. Lots of discussion of when and how that originated. But for those anti-capitalist and anti-consumerist people out there who think this isn't a day for you, you're wrong, because coinciding with Black Friday, it is also International Buy Nothing Day. And that started in the early 1990s as an antithesis to Black Friday, invented by Canadian artist Ted Dave. Bernafshin, will you be celebrating Black Friday or will you be celebrating Buy Nothing Day? Can't be both.
I don't think Buy Nothing Day has been a very successful campaign, has it, over all these different different years? And
what country you're in and whether you're in poverty or not, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think, again, with all these retailers, the problem is with them is their profit sheets do not reflect the secret subsidies they get from governments, whether it be transportation to get you to the shop, whether it be the telephone lines that allowed you to do the internet shopping, the fiber optic cables. All these companies don't actually make a profit if you factor in the amount of tax money that they've taken themselves, let alone then their massive remuneration packages for the big chief executives of those companies. And I thought you were going to say Black Friday because it's also the anniversary of the killing on live television of the putative assassin of JFK, Lee Harvey Oswald, the CIA agent Lee Harvey Oswald, who was killed live on air, which shocked the United States and shocked people all around the world, clearly, that they didn't know he was a CIA agent then. We now know that he was. And he was supposed to be the guy that killed Kennedy. But then he was killed too by Jack Ruby, which all goes to show that you're right. It can't be a conspiracy at all. It sounds perfectly run-of-the-mill. But I don't think we see so many live TV assassinations. Of course, Robert Kennedy, the Attorney General and CIA man himself, brother of Jack Kennedy, he was assassinated as well, I think, live on air. And we just got to hope that more people aren't assassinated live on air in the future.
Okay, so just to be clear, I'm assuming by the answer to that question is, yes, you will be celebrating Black Friday.
I think everyone loves a bargain. don't they? I think that's...
Maybe they'll put your Hermes lip balm on sale.
What, I don't know what that is. No, that's like you're referring to a courier firm, Hermes, that gave me this thing. Yeah, they have promotional items. I don't know whether it'll be cheaper on that day. There's no doubt that luxury firms are doing very well. In fact, stock prices this week, NVIDIA is the big chip maker. I think that's stock prices to watch. But when it comes to luxury goods, they have been doing better than ever while global food security is under discussion. I wonder why it is so many people can afford so many Dior, Chanel, LVMH, Kering, the big companies that own all those brands that seem like they're individual brands, as well as Chanel and so on. Why is it so many people can seemingly afford those while so many people are going hungry? Could it be that some people have some of the other people's money?
Perhaps, but are all of your shares currently in those designer companies?
I mean, clearly with the Gaza genocide on, we know what who's making the money on the shares. Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, Boeing, Raytheon, I think Lloyd Austin, the Pentagon director, the Secretary of Defense of the United States, a director of Raytheon, all that money, dead children, money recycled into the share prices of those defense stocks. I think
so. It's the military industry we should be putting our shares into.
I think, and then theoretically, like Code Pink, you can then vote at the shareholder meeting and say, we don't want to make weapons that kill people. We want to make shields and bulletproof vests. I don't know what else they can make. Or actually make maybe new types of farming technology to make food more plentiful. But I don't think they think like that.
Yes. Well, anyway, we better get to Saturday. And our Saturday, interestingly, marks the International Day of for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. And that goes back to actually the 1960 assassination of three political activists called the Mirabal Sisters in the Dominican Republic. And they were said to be killed by the Trujillo regime, which they opposed. And Rafael Trujillo was the military commander in the Dominican
Republic. Wait, Trujillo? Who got Trujillo into power? Hang on a minute. Trujillo. So elimination of women's violence, blah, blah, blah. Trujillo was an IMF CIA creation, wasn't he?
Well, it's actually said he was assassinated by the CIA. So that one I might give you, allegedly.
I'm going to check that.
So, he was actually assassinated a year after the Mirabal sisters were assassinated, allegedly by his regime. But it was actually the UN General Assembly in 1999 who declared this an international day. This, of course, as many women and children are currently dying at the hands of bombs, as you will say, Israel, the United States, Russia, Ukraine, all around the world.
I mean, the idea of the elimination of violence against women occurring this week as Britain, the United States and the European Union nations refused to call for a ceasefire for so many weeks ahead of this day of elimination of violence to women.
Well, it
shows how far gone these NATO countries are, because far from eliminating violence against women, they are sponsoring the mass violence against women and, of course, children.
Yeah. So in fairness, the UN, who created the International Day, has condemned Israel. They're at least in line with their morals, shall we say. But we better move on to Sunday, the final day, and ahead of COP28 at the end of the month, as we said, oil ministers from OPEC, that's the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, for those who don't know, and they are holding a conference with ministers from also non-OPEC oil producers, including Russia.
That's OPEC Plus, yeah.
OPEC, exactly. And the global push for net zero doesn't really seem to have affected the oil industries. Of course, OPEC has kept its oil production low.
Well, it's reducing production ahead of COP28.
Yeah. But again, it still seems like oil is a place to also put your shares, as well as the military industry. So That's one to look out for.
Yeah, but clearly, while Joe Biden and Antony Blinken, pardon me, desperately trying to get Saudi Arabia to increase production ahead of COP28 environmental summitry, I explained that, not really explained to NATO countries why Arab leaders are trying to be persuaded by the United States to increase production of polluting hydrocarbons, they're refusing. So I wonder, ahead of the Dubai COP28 meeting, whether Arab leaders may, and Russia, their partners there at OPEC Plus, and with Venezuela, will actually reduce oil production. And that'll help the environment and raise prices and create hell on earth for the poor of Western Europe and the United States, whose governments have not adequately invested in renewable energies and proper supplies after they went gung-ho into breaking the Minsk agreement and killing all those people in eastern Ukraine.
Off topic, but both sides broke the Minsk agreement, just to say. But of course, with production cuts, naturally the price of oil then increases, right? So you can't...
That's right. And because these NATO countries, I mean, the United States is a net exporter, so it does well, like Saudi Arabia and the GCC countries and Venezuela and Iran. Although, of course, the United States tries to sanction oil, doesn't it? The United States uses oil as a weapon and hydrocarbons as a weapon to try and hurt the men, women, and children of Iran, of Venezuela, of countries that it doesn't support because it refuses to kowtow to U.S. foreign policy. But yeah, in Western Europe, after the Biden destruction of Nord Stream and gas supplies, all energy supplies in Western Europe are under incredible stress because of their backing for neo-Nazis of Ukraine. Winter doesn't look set to be very good in Western Europe.
Nord Stream, I will say, the US deny, and there is no actual evidence that the US did that to the Nord Stream pipeline.
But you're going to be swimming down there to check it up for the Million Afshin show, I understand.
I already sent my divers down there and they're looking into it as we speak. So maybe for next week, I'll have the answer for you. But we are out of time, so we better finish it there. Hopefully that's given you a good indication of what's coming up.
That's the only sound effect that I have.
And we'll see you next week if we haven't been cancelled. But like, follow, subscribe, let us know what you think. And hopefully we'll see you next Monday.
See you then.